This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It's day three of our series, Big, Bombastic, Brassy, and Trashy. Pop culture that may not be subtle, but sure is fun. Today, we're brassy. Later, we'll hear from Tom Jones. First, John Barry, the composer who wrote the music that helped make James Bond so cool and so hot, mixing electric guitar with lots of brass. Barry scored about 100 films and won Oscars for his music for The Lion in Winter, Born Free, Out of Africa, and Dances with Wolves. He wrote the 007 theme, the scores for 11 Bond movies, and wrote such memorable Bond theme songs as Thunderball and Goldfinger. Did I say brassy?
He's the man with the Midas touch. A spider's touch. Such a cold finger beckons you to enter his web.
That's Shirley Bassey singing the theme for Goldfinger. I asked composer John Barry about writing the song.
Well, there's no songs about villains. You don't, you know, people don't sit down and write songs about villains. They write love songs, they write sad songs, they write torch songs, whatever. But songs about villains are very rare. And then I thought of Kurt Weill's Mack the Knife, which is the definitive song about a villain. So then I got my head on right, and I thought, that's the definitive song. He managed to bring off the most extraordinary song about a villain. And so I sat down and wrote this rather strange melody, just based on the word Goldfinger, as the opening line. And then I thought, well, who can write a lyric to this? So Anthony Newley and Leslie Bricus had also just got a huge theatrical success in England called Stop the World, I Want to Get Off. And I knew Tony very well. I phoned him up and I said, look, I've written this song, I've written the melody, but I haven't got the song. I'd like to meet with you. I went out to his home in Hampstead, played him it, and he said, well, what the hell's it all about? And I said, it's Mack the Knife. It's a song about the villain. And he said, got it. Then I'd worked with Shirley in concerts. I'd done concerts tours with her, and she was very big in England at that time. And Shirley has this one thing. She has such conviction about what she does. So I played her the song, and she said, well, what the hell is this about? It's about a villain, Shirley. I said, don't think too much about it, Shirley. Just go into the studio and convince the world that you know what you're doing. And you can do that, because I've worked with you in the theater, and you do this better than anybody else I know. We then went in and recorded it. And originally, it just started off with the chords. Dee-dum. And there was no bar. Yeah, 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 yeah. That wasn't there then. And we had a break. They went up for their 10-minute tea break. And in the tea break, I just found it that what we were playing, that was empty. So I sat down at the piano and I came up with a da-ya-na-na-dan and did it on Wow Wow Trumpets. And we put that in, which just kind of brought it to life. And then we repeated it down the line. When Harry Saltzman heard it...
He's one of the producers.
He was one of the producers. Harry, I can't tell you what he said.
He hated it, huh?
He said, that is the worst mm-mm song I have ever heard in my mm-mm life. But we're stuck with it because we don't have any time and the movie's coming out. And Guy Hamilton, who was the director, was, you know, he was in the Air Force. He was one of the few who fought the Battle of Britain, and he's very proper and very splendid man. He said, well, I don't know whether it's going to be a hit or not, Harry, but I know dramatically it works for the movie. And Cubby Broccoli said, I like it. I like it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Now, you mentioned that Leslie Bricus and Anthony Newley wrote the lyric for Goldfinger. There's actually a terrific Anthony Newley recording that was released a few years ago on a kind of reissue compilation.
No, because when we'd done the record, they said, you know, how do we demonstrate it to them? So I went in the studio with Tony and a bass and a bongo. I think that was the full orchestration. And I love Tony's recording, and I'd have loved to have been in the movie, and that's maybe why they didn't get the drift of it in the initial thing, you know. I love Tony's recording.
I think this version is a little more orchestrated than bass and bongo, and this is a much more kind of sneaky vocal version than the really brassy Shirley.
That's right, exactly.
One. So here's Anthony Newley.
Goldfinger, he's the man with the Midas touch, a spider's touch, such a cold finger, beckons you to enter his web of sin. Don't go in. Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you fear. For a golden girl knows when he's kissed her, it's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger.
Oh, that is really great.
I love that. I love Tony. I mean, God, does he know how to point a lyric out? I just love him.
So it's too bad that it wasn't released at the time. I think it could have done well.
I would have thought so.
There's something about your Goldfinger scores, songs, that remind me a little bit of the Frankie Lane movie themes, those big Western anthems that he used to sing.
Well, it's kind of, you know, I did one or two interviews with the English press at the time, and they said, well, what is it? And I said, it's Million Dollar Mickey Mouse music. Because it's, and it's Wagnerian. I mean, the whole opening of Goldfinger is like this, it's very pretentious. You know, I mean, but that was the fun of it. You know, and as Fred Astaire said, give it size, give it style, and give it class. And that's like an incredible Bible to follow. And hopefully that's what we did. We just made everything larger than life, and we made it a lot of fun. So everybody went in. They knew he was going to be, he'd get the broad, he'd kill the villain, he'd be happy. And that was the formula. And we enjoyed it on that level.
There's one more James Bond song that I have to get in here, and that's Thunderball, the theme from Thunderball, sung by Tom Jones. I think this is just a particularly fun one also.
Well, There's a kind of fascinating story behind that, because that is probably the worst title for a song you can imagine.
Oh, exactly.
You know, and I spoke to Tony Newley about it, actually, and he says, what do we do? Thunderball, marvelous, you should care for me, Thunderball. So I said, that's not going to work. I think somebody already did that. So it was such an abstract title. So they were shooting down in Nassau. Not Nassau County, you know, the island. They were doing all that stuff down there. And I flew down there, and on the way down, I was reading a magazine, and it said that the Italians had a name for James Bond now, which was Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which I thought was really terrific. So I thought, instead of using the word Thunderball, why don't we write a song called Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? Cubby absolutely loved it. Harry loved it. Everybody fell in love with it. So I recorded. I recorded with Dionne Warwick. We recorded with Shirley. And then the powers that be at United Artists in New York, literally 2 weeks before the movie opened, phoned him and said, you know, we need that Goldfinger thing. We need that title over the radio. And Mr. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang isn't doing it. We need Thunderball. So I called up Don Black and I said, look, I got this. We got to do this in like no time whatsoever. So I said, what does it mean? And he said, I don't know what the hell it means. I really don't know what it means. So I wrote a theme that facilitated the word. Don then wrote the lyric. He then called Tom Jones. And now the whole Bond thing was being a big success. You know, you could have called anybody. You know, everybody now wanted to do Bond songs because of the success that Shirley had had and the whole aura that was hanging around the movies. So Tom came in and he said the first thing when he heard it, he said, what the hell's it about? And his Welsh accent, what the hell's it about? I said, Tom, don't ask. Just take a leaf out of Shirley's book. Get in the studio, sing the hell out of it, and leave. Please, don't get into it. Just do that. And just, oh, all right, okay, I'll do it. So he goes, hunt the boy, and it was the same. It was the same mood. Just convince everybody. And he was so convincing. I don't think anybody really analyzed what the hell he was singing about. And I still don't know what the song is about to this day, but we were given that problem, and we have to live with it.
Well, the lyricist came up with good ideas for Thunderball. They call him the winner who takes all, and he
yes,
strikes
Don
like
did.
Thunderball.
Absolutely.
A decent solution
yeah, he
to
did.
The problem.
He did actually, in the nick of time, come out with that line, which made it slightly credible, you know.
I love these lyrics. They're so funny. His days of asking are all gone. His fight goes on and on and on.
Right, right.
So you must have had fun doing this. I mean, this is just really, it's very silly and very fun.
Talk about a license to kill. It's a license
right.
to write silly and just have great fun. You know, I mean, that was the whole joy of these movies, that this was not Citizen Kane, you know. It was just this fun comic strip, so you could get away with murder. If this had been a one-off, some guy made a movie called Thunderball, and it hadn't had the cachet that was growing up around the whole thing, we'd have been thrown out of the studio. It was the whole thing just it was we were launched. And we could do any you could do anything really silly, and it's that was the freedom of it, and why I left ultimately was because it stopped being wonderful and silly. It started to be formula, and that's when the fun went out of it. And once the fun goes out of it, well, there's really no point.
Well, it's time to hear Thunderball, sung by Tom Jones, music by my guest John Barry.
Walk. He acts while other men just talk. He looks at this world and wants it all. So he strikes. He knows the meaning of success. His needs are more, so he gives less. They call and he strikes like thunderbolt.
Talk about big arrangements. That is really great. And I like the way you managed to work in the James Bond theme
very
nice.
Every trick in the book we used, believe me, we didn't leave anything out.
Now, we've been focusing on the theme songs, but of course you did, you know, the scores for the whole movies and underscoring for action scenes and scenes where Bond is being, you know, tied up or about to be lasered to death or there's a snake or a poisonous spider in his bed or he's about to be executed or whatever. So do you have a favorite scene in how it works with the music that you did for that, where something terrible was about to happen to James Bond?
Oh, God, there's so many. I used to put myself in, like when I used to go to my father's cinema and sit in the front row on a Saturday afternoon and get absolutely thrilled by what was going up there. I tried to put myself into that area. And I guess the in Goldfinger, where he's laid down on the laser thing and the laser's going up between his legs, that's kind of a worrying thought. And, I guess that was like the epitome of, oh, my God, you know. I mean, that was pretty special stuff.
Let's hear the actual scene from the movie.
This is gold, Mr. Bond. All my life I've been in love with its color, its brilliance, its divine heaviness. I welcome any enterprise that will increase my stock, which is considerable.
I think you've made your point, Goldfinger. Thank you for the demonstration.
Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It may be your last. The purpose of our two previous encounters is now very clear to me. I do not intend to be distracted by another. Good night, Mr. Bond.
Do you expect me to talk?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. There is nothing you can talk to me about that I don't already know.
You're forgetting one thing. If I fail to report, 008 replaces me.
I trust he will be more successful.
Well, he knows what I know.
You know nothing, Mr. Bond.
Operation Grand Slam, for instance.
Overheard, which cannot possibly have any significance to you or anyone in your organization.
Can you afford to take that chance?
You are quite right, Mr. Bond. You are worth more to me alive.
It's music composed by my guest John Barry for the film Goldfinger. When Sean Connery left the James Bond movies and you stayed on and continued writing a while longer, did you feel like the music had to change at all because the character portraying Bond was changing?
Yes. Sean, and when you look at the old, when I see the old footage of the Sean movies, I just go, oh my God, God, was it there? Was it so blatantly there? There was no question. And then we did On Her Majesty's Secret Service and with Lazenby. And I overwrote. A lot of people think that's the best Bond score that ever was. Believe me, a lot of Bond fans think that that was the best score. And I was trying to make up for the fact that Sean wasn't there musically. Really? No, uh-huh. That was the trip I took. But I think Pierce actually is the closest in terms of attitude to what Sean was. He's the nearest thing. The golden days with Sean, you could never, never, never get away from that. And those terrible lines he had to say. I mean, he had to say some of the worst lines ever written. And he brought them off. He brought off these words. Well, I guess he got the point, you know, when he shot that spear into the guy. And I mean, they were terrible lines. And, you know, it's really extraordinary for an actor to bring off a line that corny and make the audience go with it.
Well, John Barry, I want to thank you so much for talking with us. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Well, I thank you, Terry. And I thank you for your knowledge and your love of things I've done. And I hope it's been an entertaining program.
John Barry composed the music for 11 James Bond movies. Our interview was recorded in 1990. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.
Golden words he will pour in your ear, but his lies can't disguise what you fear. For a golden girl knows when he's kissed her. It's the kiss of death from Mr. Goldfinger. Pretty girl, beware of this heart.